Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's show, we'll have a quick look back at last night's Bristol Street Motors exit at the hands of Reading, and of course, ahead to Saturday's home game with Neil Harris's Cambridge United at the Valley. Joining me to have both of those conversations, plus much more. First up, top of the screen there, Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Evening, gentlemen. How is everyone on this fine Thursday evening? Yeah. I hope everyone's well.
Yeah, you need to get yourself a calendar, don't you? It is Thursday, though. Yeah, you got there in the end. So, yeah, I'm good, Nave. Good to see you. Also joining us, bottom of the screen there, is Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben? Keeping safe?
I'm keeping safe, mate. Unlike the rest of Sid Cup, where I'm a bit nervous there for a bit. Bombs going off and all that. But it's nice to hear my microphone's working. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, let's see how long it is until that explodes and stops working. But yeah, dangerous place, Sid Cup, these days. My bus was diverted around whatever that was last night. On this week's show, as I said, we've got games to look back at and games to look ahead to as well. We've also got, and I've been saying this for ages, we're going to sit down and finally, with the benefit of hindsight and seeing these players play, we're going to assess our transfer business from the summer. January is just around the corner. We want to see what we've done so far. And is that a precursor for the sort of business we might do in January as well? So we're going to get all of your input on that. There's loads of you already joining us in the chat. Good evening to the likes of John and Anthony and Andrew and Michael, Patrick, David's in there, Shiny Phil, James is in there, Johan, David and Patrick. Loads of you with lots to say on yesterday's game. Perhaps we're looking ahead to Cambridge, and I'm sure you guys will get involved as well with that transfer chat. Anthony says, hi, Anto from Ireland here. It's hard work being a fan these days, and certainly is. We've got to talk about that weird, I don't know how that incident might be taking it too far, but whatever happened with Michael Appleton speaking to a fan after yesterday's game as well, we'll discuss that. John says, evening, Alex, who's looking forward to welcoming Neil Harris and his team to the Valley on Saturday? Well, our guest later on in the show is Jules from Under the Abbey Stand. I actually spoke to him last night, so it was quite good because we got the immediate reaction to Neil Harris being appointed the Cambridge United boss, replacing Mark Bonner. So we'll hear what he thought of that as well. The former Millwall boss. This is the second time since he's left Millwall that his first game in charge of a new side is against us. 2-2 draw with Cardiff was his first Cardiff game, and now his first Cambridge game will be with us as well. Now, very unusual situation regarding last night's Bristol's game over at Reading, Nath, is that I wasn't there or able to watch. I had bits and pieces on, and I don't tend to go out my way to watch the Bristol Street Motors games if I can avoid it. I like to be there if I can, but I couldn't last night. So I need you and Ben to fill me in on what happened. Obviously, a 1-1 draw. Alfie May scored in the first half. Charlie Savage equalised from range inside the final 10 minutes. We went on to lose on penalties. I think it was 4-2 with Alfie May and Louis Watson missing the two decisive spot kicks for us. So give us your views on the performance is what I'm most interested in last night.
Yeah, I think obviously it's disappointing losing. Well, we drew the game really, but obviously losing a game on penalties is never nice. But, you know, we were saying on previous weeks, it'd be nice to have a little run just to keep the interest going a little bit for the season, but wasn't to be. I think it was better than Saturday. That's one thing straight off the bat. It was better than Saturday, but I'm not saying that we were playing like Man City by any stretch, but we've done okay. Michael Hector seemed to be playing like Beckenbauer yesterday. It was a bit strange, the amount of balls he was putting through over the top and stuff. But I think it was quite an even game. Reading sort of edged it in stages. Then we came into the game. Alfie scored a good goal. Good play by Tyrese to obviously cut it back. He sort of had a disjointed game. I think he looks like he's lacking a bit of confidence at the moment, Tyrese. I'm feeling for him. But we had to make the changes, as Michael said, in terms of Dobbo and Jones, and we lost our bit of structure. And they brought on three first teamers in Aziz and Kelvin and Charlie Savage, and we had our backs to the wall a little bit. And if I'm honest, we were lucky to get a draw and have a chance at penalties. But yeah, it was okay. It wasn't the end of the world. I can see why people were a bit frustrated, but when you compare that to Saturday, it was chalk and cheese, in my opinion. But overall, decent bits of play. Still a bit open defensively in terms of teams playing through us, but we've had that all year. But yeah, not too bad. I'm not too sad about it. It's just a bit disappointing that Wembley trip isn't going to come. So you never know. It might happen in May, but I think we've got a bit of work to do till we get there.
Yeah, well, are you planning on us being reinstated in the FA Cup due to an ineligible player or something? Playoffs are still there, of course, is what Nathan was alluding to. I mean, Johan said we were good for the first 70 minutes and the youth subs changed it with Reading at that point going full strength. Patrick reiterated that point, really saying a frustrating evening. But like he said in his post-match interview, when we had to take off those key senior players, all we had was youth and we didn't get up to speed when they came on. It was a tough way for the game to end. Paul saying with the bench we had to be two up by the 60th minute last night. We weren't, so we lost. I mean, is that the way you saw it, Ben, following the game?
Yeah, to be honest, I thought it was quite an even game. Both sides had their chances. And I think Nath wrote in our group chat that they were cutting through us quite easily in that second half. And we were a little bit lucky at times that we stayed in the game and we were leading. I mean, Alfie May had a fantastic effort. I mean, what an incredible signing he's been for us. I know we're going to come on to that later, but the control, and then he like did a couple of keepy ups and volleyed it at the keeper, and the keeper pulled off a good save. But yeah, it's one of them. I think the game probably deserved a draw, but when you've got 8 minutes left on the clock, you hope to ride it out, because that's what we've done. As Nath alluded to, Hector had a good game and was quite resolute at the back and was spraying balls around. But look, when you make changes, you're gonna be susceptible, especially when you're bringing on some youngsters to them getting some chances. And they did, and it took a great shot from Charlie Savage to equalise, which, look, it was a shame. And we did try and chuck on some strikers there in Kanu at the end to try and get that winner rather than it going through to penalties. And there you go. Look, it went through to penalties, and it's a shame how we went out, but it's not that much of a big deal, is it, really? We want to focus on the league. But as we've said many times, winning breeds confidence. And look, it was a draw last night. I'm going full Mourinho, aren't I? It was a draw. We didn't lose. And we can take confidence from that. They've been on a bit of a run of form. They're quite good at home, Reading. It was an improvement on Saturday. So, yeah, let's not like blow it all out of proportion. It was better than Saturday. There was an improvement. And, yeah, let's hope that we can take a few positives from that last night into Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, I didn't watch the game last night, so I'm going off what other people said, but I was encouraged to hear that apparently Hector had a decent game. From the highlights, there was one sort of slight error, but I think you know, obviously I didn't watch the full game, and apparently Fraser was putting himself about a bit, which is nice. They're two players who I've certainly wanted a bit more from this season. I mean, one that's come up in the chat, I don't know if it's about his language, John, with a slight spelling mistake, has said that Tyrese Campbell really struggling, needs some support and not negative abuse. And then he's put, his bloody language is not good. He seems so fragile. Maybe if he washed his mouth out with soap and water, then he'd be better. But then he did correct himself, saying it's his body language that's not looking good. Before adding, he is actually quite articulate, which is good. But yeah, you know, it's 2-3 weeks maybe now, maybe even longer, really, where TC's been struggling a bit, Nath. You know, it's not that long ago he was scoring that screamer against Reading, but it's been a tough few weeks for him. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in terms of his language, he comes across as one of the most quietest kids you've ever seen. You look at his interviews with the club, he like just like murmurs, like whispers one word answer. So, but yeah, I'm glad that John knows that he's very articulate. That's great. But in terms of the more important point about obviously TC's confidence, I just think you can see. I think yesterday he set up a goal. So you'd think, oh, we had a good positive game. But there were a lot of times where, similar to Saturday, really, where he was undercooking passes. His decision-making there was a chance that he went through on the left hand side, and it just required a simple cut. Well, I say simple, like I can do it, but a simple sort of cut back to Alfie May, and it was a goal more or less. But he just seems a shadow of himself, and I think this is what we've got to remember. It's all well and good blooding these youngsters in, but you're going to get inconsistencies. You're going to get it, and you're going to need to take them out the firing line from time and again. But we can't do it because of A, the squad, and B, the injuries we've got. So I feel for him at the moment because he does look like he's lacking a bit of oomph that he did have last year. You know, you look at him when he was playing with Jez, he was firing all cylinders, and even earlier this year. So it's just a little moment he's going through, which every player gets. Yeah, I don't think he's not a bad player overnight. He just needs a little bit of an arm around him, just build his confidence back up, and I'm sure that will come in time. We've just got to be careful of him not to get on his back for me, especially the youngsters. We've just got to be a lot more patient with the youngsters, in my opinion.
Yeah, Patrick's saying Kanu looked the better of the subs. He says Mbik looked lost. Tyrese Campbell was poor, head down, body language was very off. Hector and Fraser worked hard, and then Michael agreed that Campbell needs to toughen up. And when he gets put under pressure, he doesn't fight back enough. All hell let loose, has apologised for being late. He says the builder disconnected my router, but I don't know. I know he lives round this way as well. I need some sort of proof of where you were last night at about 7 o'clock, mate. Just in case it wasn't your router exploding near any ULEZ cameras. Alfie May was always going to get caught out with one of those penalties down the middle at some point, wasn't he, Ben? I'm glad it's happened twice in pre-season and once in the Bristol, so it has not really happened at a particularly important moment.
Yeah, you can say that, can't you? I mean, did feel for him because, I mean, without him this season and without him yesterday, then we wouldn't have been in many games. But yeah, he seemed to dwell on his penalty a little bit. He seemed to take a little bit of time. Similar with Louis, actually. I think Louis was like rolling the ball up and down in his hands, and I thought, mate, just put it down and take it. Just seemed to kind of take a bit of too much time with it. But look, I'm not knocking Alfie May. Been by far our best player this season. And really an example to many because he's been played in so many different positions. Yesterday, he's played up front in his favoured position. He gets the goal. As I said, he had a really good chance as well. And he's like an example to people like Tyrese Campbell and the other youngsters coming through and maybe some of these loanees that aren't featuring at the moment. He's someone that just gives his all. He's over to the fans, clapping them at the end. We saw him in that video where Appleton's in a confrontation with a fan. So last night, it's just one of those things. He's gone for power rather than a placement. And, the keeper's read it. I don't know if he's done his homework there and wrote it on the back of a bottle like these keepers do these days. It was a shame, but again, not the end of the world. He got a good goal, a poacher's effort, and be interesting to see on Saturday what position he features in this week. But you know you're just going to get 100% from him as always.
Patrick said he feels that we're very slow at reacting and restarting the game, throw-ins, fouls, that sort of stuff. He's asking if that's an Appleton thing. I mean, Adam said, I finally come to the realisation we just ain't that good. Jay says we're mid. You can defo see where we need to improve for a push up the table. Hopefully a few sales and good buys will see an improvement in the new year. So, I mean, before we get on to the transfer stuff, obviously we do have to reference what Ben just mentioned there. I mean, Patrick says the scene last night when a couple of us were shouting at the gaffer was embarrassing. For those of you who haven't seen it, I've only seen the video, but basically there's some sort of, it looks like maybe only one, maybe two fans are shouting, and by the time the video has started, Michael Appleton's come over and sort of got involved with a conversation. I mean, from what I can work out from the video, the guy in the stand seems to be saying to the effect of, we're not a very good side, and Michael seems to maybe be saying that it's not like when, like, he basically, the guy in the stand was saying we're rubbish and Michael was saying we're not, from what I think it appears to be. But he certainly seemed to try and calm the fan down. Johan says he was the guy talking to Appleton like that. We ain't rubbish, but less of that. Or we ain't good, but less of that. I think he's trying to say win Saturday and no one cares about the last two games. John saying Appleton should not have got involved with that angry fan last night. Jay saying, to be fair, You got to be pretty tasty or stupid to front apples, and we've all seen those muscles, haven't we, Nath? But yeah, what did you make of that? It's drama, isn't it? Like we can't pretend it didn't happen. You don't see. You know, I remember when we beat Ipswich at home under Jacko. I think it was Nsiala who ended up at Fleetwood, like got involved with a couple of fans. They were at a real low point at that time, and he got involved with a couple of fans at the front of Jimmy Seed, and you know, it was a big talking point for a while, and you don't see it that often, but we've seen it now with the manager. What's your view on what happened last night?
Yeah, obviously I wasn't there, so I don't know the full context. I don't want to jump in too much, but obviously the fan itself is entitled to his views. Get it, whatever. For me, I just think Michael should be rising above that and not. But again, I don't know if something's triggered him. I don't know what was fully said from the first minute. So, but yeah, for me, I think Michael just needs to water off duck's back, really. He's experienced in the game. I just think I feel for Michael a little bit at the moment. I'm not in Appleton or out Appleton. I just think we're looking at what he's got, what cards he's been dealt at the moment. You know, it's not like he had the pre-season and had any input on the transfers or anything like that. I just think he's doing the best he can with what he's got. And I don't know if he just came in to sort of support one of the players. I don't know. But yeah, it's just six of one, half a dozen the other. It's one of those things. We'll all move on and forget about it next week. So one of those things. But yeah, the fan's entitled to his views. Whether I agree with it or not, it don't really matter. But yeah, I think Michael should have just shied away from it. I think it just used the experience a little bit more, but we all know we get a bit hot-headed sometimes, whether you're a fan or as a manager, and obviously things can get out of hand. But yeah, I'm not going to make a mountain out of a molehill out of it.
Yeah, I mean, some have suggested maybe Michael felt that he needed to step in to perhaps protect some of the younger players who were there at that point. Obviously, the whole video doesn't really show what was going on there, but I mean, yeah, realistically, this is football. You get fans shouting at you after games when we lose. It's pretty standard. So I was surprised that Michael did do that. I think also, I reckon he's a bit concerned about the narrative at the moment. So, you know, we're coming off the back of a Carlisle game where we were frustrated that we didn't win because we'd done quite a lot in that game without managing to finish the game off. A Cheltenham game where we played pretty average but did win. So, you know, that's two sort of results that probably didn't quite reflect the way the games went. And then obviously we went to Gillingham where we were really, really poor. You know, I think one of the worst I've seen this season. And then obviously last night where, by all accounts, there wasn't a great deal in the game, but we've ended up losing and getting knocked out of a cup competition again. So, you know, after the Gills game, Michael was talking a lot about how, you know, what was said after the back-to-back defeats against Lincoln and Bolton, and you know, we reacted to that. I think he doesn't want that narrative to get out there that we're not doing great. Whereas some of the games over the last few weeks might suggest that. And you can see maybe that's what Michael's trying to protect as well. Ben, did you see it that way?
I see it as also a fan that's probably gone to the Gillingham game in the freezing cold, seen us embarrassed there. And we're out of three cup competitions already with a bit of a whimper. I mean, we lost to Newport County as well, didn't we? So we've basically gone out in two cups to teams in leagues below us. And we've also gone out last night. Now, last night's the least embarrassing of the lot because you're playing a team in your own league. And yes, we went out on penalties. But I can see fans' frustrations. I mean, I looked at the away form this season. We're 19th in the league for our away form. I mean, fans have seen us win once away from home this season. So that's a major problem for us. And we all know that, of course. And our home form has been good. And if we're playing teams below us, then we seem to do a lot better. And I looked up our fixtures. I think we're playing four out of our next five fixtures. Four of our next fixtures are of teams below us. So, yeah, look, we don't want to be too down because we look ahead to these fixtures and you want to have some confidence vibes going into this because our recent record against these clubs are good. And we can end the year on a decent high heading into a window where hopefully we can bring in some reinforcements because we've been unlucky with injuries. So look, on the defence of Appleton, yes, we've been unlucky with injuries and he's having to put youngsters in and there's a few players that aren't featuring at all. And we'll go on to talk about that in terms of transfers. But look, as Nath said, fans have their right for their opinions. If you're a fan that's gone to every away game and done a lot of them, you're going to be frustrated. in isolation, yeah, he's probably balled over a little bit. You don't know what's happened, but fans are frustrated. I mean, we're 10th in League One. At the start of this season, we had real high aspirations for us. A lot of other fans, and how great our transfers were. And yes, we've had a few injuries, but a lot of it hasn't come to fruition, has it? So, look, we've had some bad injuries. We look ahead to Saturday. As I said, we've got some decent fixtures now coming up to the new year. And let's hope that we can like try and galvanise as ourselves, because, yeah, some of these players don't deserve criticism as their youngsters, the likes of Asimwe, likes of Campbell, even Louis Watson, for example. They're players that haven't got much experience, and they're trying their best, and we just got to aim for the right direction, really.
Right, well, let's have a look at some of the transfers that we have had then in the summer. I'm just looking at, so a couple of people have asked about Corey. So Corey, the club said last night, missed out with a groin problem, whilst Lucas Ness had a knee injury. So, well, we don't know what's going to happen with those, but hopefully it won't be too bad. Obviously, we had the same with Jones came off. And did Dobson perhaps have something when he came off as well? Was that just a protection of the player? We don't know. But yeah, let's have a look at the transfers, because that's what I said we were going to do next. So I've been promising for a while we're going to go through our transfer business and try and work out if we think we've had a good window. So we're going to go through it retrospectively now. Nathan, so, I mean, we're going to try and give all the players a score out of 10, and obviously everyone in the chat join us as well. And this is how we're going to rate whether our transfer window has been good or not. So, I mean, Nathan, I don't think there's going to be much discussion about Alfie May, but should we just give him a 10 immediately?
Well, to be fair, looking at that, it's really, really nice to see the nice spread of goals, isn't it? Really nice, lovely stuff. Yeah, to be fair, you can't really go against a 10. I know 10 would mean he's Lionel Messi, but yeah, I'll do that for this. I'm not sure I'll agree with a 10, mate.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, so I mean, Alfie May obviously signed at the start of the season. One other thing I've put on this table here, obviously, everyone listening on the podcast and not looking at YouTube as well, I'll just describe what it is. It's basically a list of all of our signings with the amount of league appearances they've made, including subs, the amount of minutes they've played, the amount of league goals they've got. And then we're going to give them a score out of 10. I've also just pointed out here, when the takeover happened, so the takeover happened on the 21st of July. So actually, Pan Kamara, Lloyd Jones, Harry Eisted and Alfie May all came in before the takeover happened. And Andy Scott became the technical director on the 26th of July, which is the same day we signed Terry Taylor. So Tyo Eden actually happened before Andy Scott was officially recognised as our technical director. So we have to sort of take that into account, because a lot of people keep saying to me, they've only had half a window. So if we're saying they've only had half a window, obviously that means we can't count Alfie May, Harry Eisted, Lloyd Jones or Payne Kamara as their signings, if we're going to be saying they've only had half a window and they haven't really had long enough to put this right. So we've got to be fair. So I just got to make sure that we put that on there. So Harry Eisted as our backup goalkeeper, obviously out injured now, Ben. Had half a season with Barnsley at the end of last year, on loan from Luton. The majority of his football, other than that, has been played in non-league. Battled it out between Ashley and Harry for the number one spot at the start of the campaign. He took over just as Dean Holden was on his last legs with the Addicts before then going out injured. So he's been out injured for a while now. But, I mean, how do you sort of rate his transfer as one for us? He had his moments, didn't he, at the start, and then arguably his first like real standout game at Shrewsbury is when he got injured. So how would you describe him so far? And like I say, everyone in the chat, give us your views on this as well.
Yeah, it's a tricky one again, because it's someone who's been injured who we first saw as quite a good signing. I think you were very quick to say fans are getting carried away. He's not really had a full season. He's been on loan and he did well in the playoff final and the lead up, but he's not really had that many games with Barnsley. And as you said, like that was his best game for us against Shrewsbury, and then does that amazing save where he nearly gets lobbed and does himself in, which is very frustrating. I think we've struggled with the competition for places in our squad. I think a lot of these players should be doing a lot better to be pushing the player who's either in their position or they're in that position. They haven't got the backup really. And I think him and Ash would have provided a really good competition for that number one spot. It's hard to give a number out of 10 as we've only seen him for 5 appearances. I'd probably say a 3 or a 4. I can't really score that low as he didn't really give a howl. I didn't really give that many howlers. I know there was one game, wasn't it, where he did.
Yeah, the one away at Stevenage where he seemed to get beaten sort of a bit flat-footed. I'm just going through the chat. I mean, Michael said 6, Johan 7.
The near post.
Yeah, Patrick saying 5.
And you brought up that dreadful image of him as well where he wasn't ready.
Yeah,
4 or 5, I think, for Isted. I think he's got potential, but unfortunately got that injury.
Yeah, so yeah, looking at the chat, there's a fair few in there. I think I'm probably going to lean towards the average seems to be about a 5 or a 6. So we give him maybe a 6 just to make sure we're on track with the chat as well, because we don't want this just to be our score. So on average, we'll say a 6. So obviously, yeah, still room to improve. Lloyd Jones comes up next, Nave. So again, this is still in the part before the takeover and before Andy Scott came in. So, I mean, Lloyd's, in my opinion, probably been our best defender so far this season. Dean's gone straight in with a 9. How have you rated him so far, and what score would you give him?
I'd probably go for, yeah, it'll be in the high numbers. I'd probably give him an 8. Reason I probably won't give him a 9 or a 10 is because, unfortunately, even though he's played well, he's been part of a unit that does leak goals, and I think he could be better at set pieces, attacking-wise. Get a couple of goals, he probably would have jumped up to a 9. But I think, yeah, no, I'd say 8's fair, but I'll see what everyone else is going to say. They'll probably say 10 now and make me like really silly, but I'd probably go for a good 8.
Yeah, I mean, Dean's saying a 9 for Jones. Adam and Danny are both saying an 8. Patrick and Paul both saying a 9. Johan and John both an 8. So I think, yeah, I think we're between sort of 8 and 9 there. The only reason in fact, Michael's just chucked in a 7. All hell let loose is saying, why isn't Hector on the list? He re-signed in the summer. Yeah, arguably a good point, but it's a player we had last season, so I was just sort of really doing the new signings. But yeah,
I'll let you do that, Lou. I'll let you rate Hector out of 10.
Well, I mean, that would be a debate to be had, wouldn't it? I mean, it sounds like he played quite well last night, didn't he? But you know, we're looking at Jones at the moment, Nave. So Andrew has said an 8 as well. Danny said recently, turn the defence around, a great partnership with Hector, but we are still really low down in the amount of goals we concede, you know, and even if it is just one a game, it is a consistent one a game. Dean's saying that Hector would have a 2 if he was playing, which is, I wouldn't go as low as a 2, but it's probably nearer where I would have said. But yeah, Small Bear saying 8 as well. So I think an 8 seems to be the average for Jones. Yeah, for me, our most consistent defender. I mean, he really stood out against Jules, actually, in that first 15-20 minutes, the amount of headers he won, Nath. But yeah, he's been a good one so far. So we're still sort of going in the early stage, and this is one where we now have to take into consideration the fact that Pan Kamara had injury problems last season and therefore could be seen as a bit of a risk. And I guess with hindsight, Ben, because the fact he has spent the majority of the time injured, we have to take that into consideration for Pan. But what do we say for Pan Kamara?
Are you giving me all the injured players on purpose? It's a joke, this. But look, he come with probably the biggest kind of prospect this summer where I thought, cool, we're going places, because I remembered him at Plymouth and thought he's a serious player. And he come off the bench, didn't he, on that first game against Leighton Orient, and we thought, here we go, we're going to go places this season. And yeah, unfortunately made that mistake against Peterborough, and we all saw how gutted he was about that. And then he got a knock, didn't he? And then he comes back. And then that horrible feeling of him and then seeing him against Wigan, I was gutting to see him go off there as he was got a start in that game. I don't want to give him a bad mark because, I mean, we're rating them on their performances, are we? Rather than
no, we're rating them
time at a club.
We're rating them on their their score as a signing. So we have to take into account the fact that Pan was had injuries before he came in. So therefore, we're not rating Pan, we're rating us for signing him. So for me, it has to be a bit lower. But, you know, Small Bear saying he looked like he could be an eight, but he's a four or five. You know, Andrew saying a frustrating eight. All Hell Let Loose wanted to be an eight. Patrick wanted him to be a seven. Dean wants him to be an eight. But like I say, we have to take into account the fact that he had injuries before he came here, and we took a bit of a risk for him, which I think takes him down, you know, unfortunately, a couple of notches. And like I say, this isn't based on the player. This is based on us as a club for signing them. So I'll probably go six, just because five would feel harsh, because he had looked like he had potential. But John saying he could be very good, but it's damaged goods. And like I say, this isn't rating the player on his own. It's rating the fact that we decided to sign them, and that's why Michael says, how good is someone if they can't play? And unfortunately, that's the situation we find ourselves in. Right, let's get into the first player that signed after the takeover happened, which is Teo Eden. I mean, if we were basing him on the first 20 minutes at Jill's nave, it would be zero. But yeah, what have you seen of him as a whole this season?
Yeah, it's difficult, because if we're basing it on, you know, as us signing him, we needed a left back for God knows how many years, and so I can get why we've signed him. But something so far is like, I think we're just waiting for something to click. And it's like, at first it was right, let's get him up to speed. He's not played in a while. And that was the big thing when he came. Oh, he's not had a preseason, blah, blah, blah. But now you're in December, you're now looking at him to kick on a little bit. And I've not really seen, is he an attacking fullback that gets loads of assists? Is he solid defensively? I don't know. I'd probably go for, well, I mean, if Pan's a six, I mean, I'm probably looking at Eden as a seven, but seven seems quite generous, I think, given Eden Teo a seven. That's,
yeah,
that's
you're
quite
right.
Generous.
I'm putting Pan down to a five, and then we're putting Teo as a six, because we like,
yeah.
I don't think Eden's done enough yet, you know, and I'm hopeful that he's going to turn out to be the sort of player we want. But I agree with Nathan that I don't think we've actually seen enough from him yet. A bit more going forward. He's okay on the ball, you know, defensively. Got caught out a bit, you know. Like Gillingham game's obviously fresh in my mind because he was right next to us. But you know, I think there's more issues to go. Patrick's asking if he had injury problems before coming to us. I think he might have. I forget really. There, David saying Teo should be a six. Alex is saying he should be a six. Andrew saying he could be a seven. Michael a six, and John saying a six. Sid saying if Dobbo was on there, he'd break the scale. And so would Alf, because I think he's higher than a 10, even though the score is at a 10. But yeah, I think that's fair, certainly for Alfie May there. Terry Taylor, no, Ben, injured player for you. Terry Taylor, again, an injured player. My reaction to this one has probably got to go quite down the middle, because we haven't seen much of him yet.
Well, zero, isn't it? We just ain't seen him. And again, didn't he have injuries at Burton last season? So it's another one we've known about with injuries. And we've signed someone with injuries and he's injured. Like, it's not the guy's fault, but it's as if, like, we've got chucks already, haven't we, with injuries. And we keep signing players that have injury records. So, yeah, he come with a lot of potential, Terry Taylor. Seen him very briefly. We've got a lot of centre midfielders, so he definitely would be fighting for his place there and given a bit of competition, but don't know how you want to judge that on a player that's only what you got him playing two appearances and three subs. So
yeah, so I think if you're going to compare him to someone like Pan Kamara, who's obviously come in with a similar situation regards injuries, but has a bit more experience at this level. And so you're there on Terry, you're going for potential, but you haven't really seen it yet. Then I'm going to go four. I mean, again, looking at the chat, most people, I think that's probably the average score that we're getting in the chat there. Terry says five. Paul says five. Sid says five. Michael says four. Taylor from Adam says two and a half. Small Bear saying three. Andrew saying four. So I think, yeah, four is probably pretty much the average there. There's a three and a two and another three in the chat as well. All Hell Let Loose saying I can't mark as a player, but as a signing, it's a three. So, yeah, three or four, probably pretty much around the average. Now we're getting into territory of players that a lot of us forgot existed. And these are all, you know, this is important now. So Andy came in on the 26th of July. He is our technical director from now on. Obviously, that's the same day we signed Terry Taylor. So you can assume certainly all the players we signed since then So the next player we signed was nearly a month later on the 23rd of August, which is Chem Campbell, who has been ostracised. So if we've got a player that we're not playing, Nath, can you go anything higher than a two?
The only thing he done was the assist for Alfie, wasn't it, in that home game, whatever one it was. But you can't. I mean, the big question at the moment is, you know, why isn't he playing? I just think if he's not injured, he's obviously not training as good as other players. So if that's something to go by, then he can't be anywhere near a four or a five, in my opinion. But then Terry's been injured. So if Terry's been injured and he's got a four and Chem's fit, apparently, and he still can't get in the side, then he's got to be lower than that. So, yeah, I'm probably saying two or three.
Yeah. And again, it isn't necessarily only a reflection on the player. It's a reflection on the fact that we've signed someone that we're not playing. So I think two is fair. You know, a lot of people are asking questions why he doesn't play. I mean, Paul's saying it should be a zero. Michael's saying it could be a four. Sam saying a four for Chem as well. You know, Andrew's saying a two. I think two is probably fair because we're not playing him. And Elite, when he has played, he's looked okay at times, so which is why he probably gets higher than a zero, which brings us on to the next one. You know, poor old James Abankwa, Ben, we've seen him play twice in the league, two starts, both of them at right back. He's barely got anywhere near the squad since then. I don't think he was involved last night, if my memory serves me correctly. So, zero, one, where would you go for James Abankwa, who's just not playing? And, you know, that was a position when he came in on deadline day, we knew we needed a centre-half, and we've not signed a centre-half who's played, and we have one of the worst defensive records in League One. So 0-1 for James because of the way we signed him.
Well, after that Stevenage game, I would have given him -1. My goodness, he looked so lost out there. He got bullied by their players. But again, does he ever play right back? I don't know why we played him at right back. Was it to try and fit him in? Did Scott say, look, Michael, I've signed this player, we've got to fit him in somehow? And we shoved him in straight after the international break of right back away to Stevenage, who are one of the most physical sides in the league. And that game, my goodness, he got absolutely taken to the cleaners there by their players, and he looked pretty scared. And then the Wickham game, we did exactly the same, and he didn't look good, did he? And then since then, as you said, like Chem Campbell, he's been ostracised. It's not helping him, is it? I mean, he's come from, was it Udinese in the Italian league, where obviously it's known not to be as physical as over here. I know Tell was pleased because he's an Ireland under 21 international. But, I mean, we haven't seen anything in him, whether he's playing in the wrong position or not. It doesn't seem as much desire to do anything. And look, we've got to judge him on what he's done for us. And and as you said, the minutes that he's been given, as Nath said earlier, kind of defending Appleton. Appleton wasn't around to sign these players. So on the club, on a whole, signing him, you've got to give him a one or a zero, really.
Yeah,
we've just not used him.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chat. It's a lot of people have gone minus numbers, actually, for James Abankwa. I've given him a one, I've decided, overall. Yeah, but we've got to zip through these now, actually, because we've got to get onto the Cambridge game shortly. So, I mean, Louis Watson, I'm hovering around maybe a seven, only because I think he'd be an eight up there with Lloyd Jones, because he has looked good, although he was quiet. Was it the Gillingham game? I thought, you know, he wasn't very good. I obviously didn't see him play last night, but I think he'd have to play more consistently like Lloyd Jones does to get a higher score than that, Nath. But overall, from the loanees, he's probably the best one in short way of saying it.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think Gillingham was an opportunity for him to really run a game, and he didn't. Not saying that he was just solely at fault, by the way, before I get pelters, but it was an opportunity for him. He's creative enough to get maybe chip him with a couple of goals or something. But yeah, I think seven's a fair score. But yeah, he's up there with the best loan signing, without a doubt.
Yeah, sixes, sevens, and in the chat as well, John saying he could be an eight on his day. Small Bear saying he's decent. He had a stinker at Gillingham. Patrick's trying to throw in a 7.5. I'm not bringing decimals into it, otherwise we'll be here all day. Right, Tedic. Ben, again, we're going to try and keep these relatively short, but he's only made three league starts for us. He's likely to start making a few more now. Only one league goal, obviously, that miss hit he scored against Wickham. He won a penalty, I think, on, I think it was his debut away at Stevenage. What do you make of him briefly?
Very briefly, he started off with a bit of promise. He had the likes of Aniki and Lee Burns, so he was battling with them for that place because May's dropping deep now. Looked okay, got that scuff shot against Wickham. Then Apples has played him on the wing. Again, like, look at May's character running around, showing 100%, whatever position he plays in. I think he looks a little bit lost out there. I haven't seen really the desire. In the last few games, I wasn't at the Gillingham game, but the fans, what they're saying, doesn't look good. And then where was he last night? The website didn't really say if he had an injury. So I don't know if Apples has ostracised him as well now. I'd probably say a 5. He's got a goal and looked decent when he looked early on. But since then, he hasn't really shown the promise. And people keep saying, he's a Man City player. He's on loan from Man City. He should be better than this. And yeah, if he is, and he's been training with Erling Haaland, he obviously hasn't learned a lot.
Yeah, right. I mean, you've gone 5. I think the chat's gone a fair bit lower, actually. I mean, Michael said 5, but then Adam said 2. Chase hasn't given a score other to say he's stealing a living. Johan said 0. Paul said 1. Sid said 3. There was a Chase did give a 0 up further up in the chat. So there we go. So yeah, I think I've put him 3 as an average. You know, it'd be harsh to put him as low as Chen because he has played a little bit more, and I think we'll see a bit more of him from now on. Tenai Watson, Nath. Steady.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a hard one. He's not lit the world alight, but I think he's popped up with a couple of assists. So I don't want to give him a too low score because I think that'd be quite unfair. And he's got a lot of energy in that right hand side and can offer a left back. He played centre off against Sutton. So I'd give him a solid 6-7. So yeah, I wouldn't go higher than that, but I wouldn't go lower than that.
Yeah, the chat's going mainly sixes with a couple of sevens chucked in. Johan trying to skew the average slightly with an 8, but I'm looking at the median there is a 6, and yeah, all hell let loose is the Oracle, and he said Watson, as in Tenai Watson, a 6, so we get Tenai a 6. And finally, Sam Walker, the other thing about Tenai as well is he filled a hole, you know, obviously with Nathan still learning, you know, we needed a body there, and I think he's done okay. Sam Walker, Ben, finally, the cup goalkeeper to fill in for when Harry's out injured, but he didn't play last night. What's your view on him?
Well, I think he didn't play last night after what he did against Cray when he clattered into Kyrell Lisby.
Yeah, so what score would you give him out of 10?
2. Not 2. Maybe there we not go. Even that.
But yeah, all hell let loose said 1. Small Bears said 4. Andrew said 4. Walker said 5. Sorry, Michael said that as well. A couple of 5s in there. So maybe a 2 or a 3. I'll go for a 3 looking at the averages on there. So there we go. So overall for our summer business, we've given ourselves 61 out of 90, which is interesting, but a lot of that is sort of in the top half of that. 29 of those points are just in the top 4 players, and then the bottom 8 players have only scored 32. The most concerning thing for me is the average score for Andy Scott's players is only 3.7. You know, and then when you add that onto Andy's transfer window last January as well, it's not been great, has it? So there's a lot of people sort of pinning our hopes that we're going to have a really good January, Nath. Statistics show that we might not.
Yeah, but I suppose now we're at the Papa John's Trophy, whatever it's called now, at least we've got to have some sort of optimism, mate. So January's the next thing to look forward to. And when that fails, we'll just look forward to the summer and then we'll just start the cycle again, mate. But it doesn't bode well, but who knows, maybe it's going to be a different January like we've been saying for the last god knows how many years. But it's quite opening, those last ones, mate. Those averages are 3, so we need improvement.
That's that Louis Watson, sort of the two Watsons with a 6 and a 7 there have held it up, really. A lot of people saying it's grim reading when you write it down and give it a score, but we've debated it now, we've put it out there. I think we know now that we need better business done this January and certainly next summer if we are to improve as a club. Right, it's going to be time to turn our attention to the game with Cambridge very shortly, but let's have a quick break here on Charlton. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're looking ahead now to Saturday's home game with Cambridge United. Obviously, normally we get a live guest on from the opposition podcast to come speak to us, but Jules was available last night to speak to me. He's from the Under the Abbey Stand pod, but that was good, really, because it was the it was literally minutes after they announced that Neil Harris, the former Millwall boss, is going to be the new gaffer, replacing Mark Bonner. So let's hear what Jules has to say ahead of Cambridge's visit to the Valley this Saturday. Now on Charlton Live is Jules from the Under the Abbey Stand podcast. And well, big news this evening on Wednesday night, because you've just announced a new manager, Neil Harris. What has been your initial reaction to that?
We have. This is going to be, as I mentioned to you just before we started, it's going to be a bit of a funny preview, just because normally you can feel pretty confident talking about your team and how you're playing. But this is kind of bizarre because I'm sort of reacting live to it just as you are. And Neil Harris has been, we sacked our manager, Mark Bonner, this time last week, Wednesday last week. So we've had, after a bad run of results, which I'm sure we can get into in a second, but Neil Harris has been sort of front runner the whole time. It was always him, the Cowleys. There was this outside talk of Nathan Jones, but I don't think anyone was really ever thinking that. So it was always going to be between Harris and the Cowleys. And I think everyone was broadly pretty happy with the idea of getting someone in who had a bit more of a pedigree at this level, probably someone who's got, you know, over 400 appearances in management, which is double Mark Bonner's, who, you know, has his own affiliation story with the club. But in terms of someone who's established himself in the game, Harris has got, I think, over 160 games managing the Championship. He's won promotion from this level. He's finished in the playoffs at this level both times with Millwall. I think the thing that's maybe like putting people off him ever so slightly is just the last thing on his CV, which is a relegation from this level, granted in very difficult circumstances at Gillingham, and then getting sacked from the league below. Again, there's an asterisk next to that. They were fourth in League Two. It wasn't like they were struggling down the bottom end, this season at least. So I think it's a bit harsh to judge him maybe on that last job. I think there's probably some mitigating circumstances. Overall, I would say he's a sort of manager that we should be, that we definitely should have gone and, I'm happy we've gone and appointed someone with that sort of pedigree and hopefully know-how. So hopefully he's still got it in him, got a bit of fight in him and fancies bringing it to United.
Yeah, I mean, were you surprised to see Mark Bonner go? Because it's only, what, 2-3 months ago that he signed a new long-term deal. Yeah. But obviously, it's been a struggle this year. You only just stayed up last year, which in itself is, you know, a great story, the way you did it and the way you came back on the final day of the season. But, of course, it's only one win in the last 13. What was it? Difficult to take when Mark was given the old elbow.
Guys, proper like heart and, you know, heart and head stuff. With my heart, absolutely so difficult to take. It was really was a shock. I mean, just to give your listeners a bit of background, if they don't know anything about him, I'll try and do the sort of abridged summary. He's a boyhood Cambridge United fan, season ticket holder, stood in the terraces as a kid. As soon as he left school at 16 years old, he started working in the community system as a coach. It's all he ever wanted to do. He filled every single coaching role from there through to the first team manager, with a brief spell away at Southend when we went bust and had to Our academy stopped existing for 7 or 8 years. For a small spell within there, he was at Southend, and then so he's got Cambridge United running for his veins. So every win felt that little bit sweeter with Mark Bonner in charge, because it was you know, someone who felt it in the same way that you did as fans. So it was an amazing ride for a guy like that to take over and then to win promotion to League One, keep us up there 2 years in a row. The last year, like you say, stay up on the last day of the season on goal difference in the end, but sort of didn't matter. I mean, we were 8 points adrift on the 1st of April. And pulled around this insane run of form over the last month that kept us up, which was incredible, amazing memories. But I think the thing you forget is to have been put in that position. What it's meant, it's been, aside from April and August this year, we started the season quite well. It's been 14 months of largely terrible, terrible football, awful, awful, awful performances. We went on a spell last year of winning 3 in 27. Between about October and January, February sort of time. And then this year, we're now, as you mentioned, 1 in 13. There's a few decent points in there, granted, but 1 win in 13. And I think the trends are just happening again. It's been an identical start to the season as it was last year. So I think there was a lot of loyalty shown to him last year when he rejected a job up at Rotherham in the Championship at the time to stay with United. And then we showed him the loyalty back when any other club would have sacked him when we were on that run. He repaid the faith, but I think this year we started on a level playing field with him a bit more, and I think time was up, and it was a chapter closing that no one wanted to ever see close. We knew it would have to at some point, and I think when you really think about it, especially when you go every week, it was probably just about the right time for him to go, and because it's more important for us as a club to stay at this level and keep growing at this level, and in the future, this is hopefully, you know, where we would belong. But I think in the meantime, they just needed someone to sort of steady the ship a little bit.
Yeah. And do you believe you've got the squad to stay up this year? Obviously, you're outside of the relegation zone at this point, which helps. But do you think you can still remain a League One side at the end of this season?
I actually think that's a huge part of why Bonner's actually been sacked, because I think last year we didn't really have the squad, I don't think. I think it took a couple of pretty remarkable individual performances from players, good young players like Harvey Nibbs and Sam Smith, who and Lloyd Jones as well, who obviously you guys will know all about now. It took a few sort of, you know, remarkable runs of form from those guys, who you maybe you're not guaranteeing a young player like that to be able to pull you out of trouble in the same way maybe someone with a bit more experience at the level might. And what we did in the summer, and to be fair, in January last year, was we threw a bit of money at the problem, to be honest. I think the owners just sort of found a bit of money. We're not at all a rich club, but I think they'd earmarked a bit of money for some investment off the pitch that they moved to the playing budget, because they just realised that we needed it, and they extended that over the summer. So now we've got players like Jordan Cousins, who's another Charlton guy, I think quite a few appearances you guys actually, right? George Thomas, another player who's played a lot of appearances, League One, Championship level. Fajiri Okunabire scored 20, I think he's had 220 plus goal seasons at this level. Michael Morrison, Ryan Bennett are our centre-halves. Elias Kachunga scored Premier League goals 4 or 5 years ago for Huddersfield. Suddenly, like, we sort of built the squad that, I'm not saying it's absolutely remarkable, but I think it's definitely good enough. There's probably, you know, always a few areas where fans would have maybe liked a little bit more recruitment, and I think that's probably true. I think we'll have a busy January regardless. But I do think the average level of the squad is there for us to stay up. So I think that's a big part of it, that the players are there, it just sort of got to a point where they weren't quite being coached or put together properly.
Yeah, and finally, I mean, just looking ahead to Saturday, normally at this point, I'd probably ask, how do you expect your side to set up? But with a brand new manager in his first game, that's probably a difficult question. But I could ask, what does Neil Harris have to do to improve the side from what you've seen under Mark at the start of this season?
Well, I tell you what, from what I know about Neil Harris, which granted isn't loads, it sounds like it's kind of a similar sort of story, to be honest. Under Mark Bonner, we were very conservative, defence first, no risk sort of side, build on a solid base, try not to concede a goal rather than to outscore your opposition and build results off that. We're very unadventurous as a squad, to be honest. We didn't score a lot of goals. We were, but this season especially, we were very solid up until about a month ago. We actually, bizarrely, had one of the best defensive records in the league, like the most clean sheets in England at the end of October. Kind of mad to think the manager lost his job, you know, less than a month after that. But that's a lot of, from what I'm hearing about Neil Harris, is a similar sort of mindset with the players, and using those sorts of intangibles of, like, character and personality and building the morale of a squad on those sorts of attributes to be successful going forward on, you know, things like desire and all these lovely football words and that sort of thing. So I think we'll be quite direct. I think we've got Gassana Hadmi who'll play up top, probably. 6-foot-odd striker, sort of done the rounds around this sort of level, but he can really put himself about, make the ball stick to him. And I think we'll play off him with probably Sully Kaikai on one side. Again, lots of League One experience and Championship experience last year as well, on one wing, and most likely James Brophy on the other, and Elias Kachunga behind them. And I think we'll just look to play nice and long, get the ball out wide from Ahadmi's knockdowns, and see what sort of chaos we can create from there, to be honest. I think we'll see Michael Morrison and Ryan Bennett play at centre-half, who I can tell you that Alfie May won't win a header against them, but if you manage to spin them, get the ball in behind them, they're not particularly quick. So, that's, I think, the strategy that we'll go for.
There we go. That's Jules from the Under the Abyssam pod speaking to me yesterday. Basically a team of Charlton rejects. That's why there's so many of them in there. I don't think he even realised Sully Kaikai played us on loan for a little while, although to be fair, most of us forgot that as well. Nath, from a Charlton point of view, so we're 4 unbeaten in League One. We've only lost 2 of our last 13 in the league. It's easy to forget that when we've had so many disappointments recently in cups, and you know, standard of performances over the last couple of weeks have gone down. Plus, we're now going into that part of the season where injuries start to take hold. So Rachel actually sent an interesting tweet about how Michael will do now that he's almost effectively got a very similar squad to what Dean Holden was struggling with at the start of the season. We're missing strikers. I think Fraser was obviously out at the start of the season, who isn't currently. What do we need to improve upon Saturday? Because we got to continue this form. If we are to make anything of this season now, we can't really have many more slips at this time.
Yeah, I think the thing we've got to improve on is, I think, is that final ball, that bit of composure and decision making in the final third. I think we're going to have to be patient on Friday. I think Jules summed it up really well in terms of how they're going to play. Morrison and Bennett ain't going to want to hold a high line, so they're going to sit deep and not let anyone in behind us. Those Hector balls that was being sprayed yesterday, I'd be amazed if there's many of them, because they'll be sitting so deep. So I think we start Daniel Kanu, just a bit of pace, as well as Alfie and Corey, if he's fit. I just think, yeah, that final ball, that little bit of composure. We had chances yesterday to deliver better into the box. And I think once we get the first, I think we'll be comfortable and go on to win. But it all depends how long it takes to get that number one, like similar to sort of Cheltenham, really. It was a bit tetchy. I think we just need to improve and sharpen up, really, in the final third.
Yeah, I mean, concerns, obviously, with Lloyd-Jones missing out yesterday, Ben, that if he were to be out, who's coming in centre-half? I mean, is there anyone other than Terrell Thomas, who obviously came off the bench yesterday, who will fit in there? And is that a potential point that Cambridge will look to try and target for us?
Do you know what? We haven't seen much of Thomas at centre back, have we? We've seen him a lot at left back. I thought he came on yesterday and played really well. I thought it seemed like he had a bit of a point to prove. I know Nath's laughing now. Maybe Nath saw a different game than me. I thought he did all right. Is Nath going to say something now?
No, it was just about that comment about Benji's hungry, isn't he? Yeah, that one.
Well, I'm eating Twiglets, mate. Those Christmas Twiglets in the shell, they are all over me. Because normally you come
in. Oh, yeah, I went off. I was agreeing with your comment on the football piece. I just saw that comment about you munching. I was cracking up.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry, that's unprofessional. But yeah, I thought Thomas came on and did well yesterday. I don't know if it was against a former club of his, but I thought he'd come on and did well. Yeah, it's tricky. I listened to that Cambridge fan there, and I did think, I mean, with Bonner leaving, that 3 of their best players left in the summer in Nibs, Smith, and obviously we took Jones. So I do think they're out of the relegation zone. And Gillingham just sacked Harris. I mean, you see a lot of clubs, cutthroat mentality. Obviously, we've just seen Sunderland sack Mowbray. I mean, that's nothing to do with Charlton, so forget that. But I just think we go into this game on Saturday we beat Cheltenham, similar position to these guys. We go into the game in a bit of confidence in league form, at home league form. And we can take confidence from last night as well. And yeah, I think, look, Thomas in his natural position in centre back, he should do well. He done well last night when he come on. And look, I mean, they've got two old players in Michael Morris and Ryan Bennett at centre back. We can't get a goal against these two with our pace in behind. I don't know if Ryler's going to start, if Corey's injured, but we've got pace in our team. If we can help to attack them from those points of view, then we should do well. I mean, our home form's good. We do well against teams below us. Let's just attack. Don't hold back here. Attack them.
There we go. A lot of love for Twiglets in the chat here. David says he loves Twiglets. John says they're delicious. All Hell Let Loose says that Marmite Twiglets are the dogs. John said he's now going to take Twiglets to the game on Saturday. Well, we need to charge Twiglets for the free advertising they've got here. But that's going to be the final word on the show. It's about Twiglets. What a sad state of affairs this has been. Thanks for everyone who's tuned in. Don't forget, check out our merchandise store, charltonlive.etsy.com. I'm not lying when I say the mugs have been flying off the shelves this last couple of weeks in preparation for Christmas. So get yourself a Charlton Live mug ahead of the festive season. Oh, Alex has said something that's got nothing to do with Twiglets. He says, I'd love to see Chem involved. He was quality when he came on. Not so many appearances under Apple, so I'd love to bring him in. It doesn't say anything about Twiglets at all. That's from Alex. So, yeah, thanks for everyone who's joined us live on the show on YouTube or caught up via the podcast or YouTube afterwards. I really enjoyed going through the transfer business, actually. It's good to hear people's thoughts. So thanks for getting involved. With that, thanks to Jules, who we heard from earlier on today from Under the Abbey Stand pod. Massive thanks, as always, to Nathan, Ben. A pleasure to speak to you guys.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, guys. Up the Twiglets.
I'm more of a Watsits man myself. I'm Louis Medeiros. Thanks for listening then to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. We'll be back on Sunday morning to look back at the game against Cambridge. Ben will be eating Twiglets all through the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.